This week for a live opera on three, the story of a Russian rebellion that sought democracy. A story perhaps pertinent to modern times, but it's set in the time of Tsar Peter the Great. Olga Borodina stars in Khovanshchina by Mussorgsky this afternoon at 4. But now, with the time at 1 o'clock, it's time for a summary of the lunchtime news. It's read by Vaughan Savage.
Union leaders have reacted with anger to government plans to scrap the national pay rates for civil servants. The Chancellor is expected to announce in the budget next week that in the poorer parts of the UK, the pay of employees working at places such as airports, the DVLA and job centres should be changed to be in line with private sector salaries. Unison claims the incomes of lower paid workers in the north are being attacked to fund a tax cut for millionaires living in the south. The Syrian health minister says that 27 people have been killed in two explosions in the capital, Damascus. The authorities claim that terrorists were behind the blasts at two security buildings. Officials in the West African state of Mauritania say Colonel Gaddafi's former intelligence chief, Abdullah al-Sanusi, has been arrested in the capital, Nouakchott. He's wanted by the International Criminal Court in connection with crimes committed during the Libya uprising. The Nazi war criminal John Demjanjuk has died in Germany. He was 91. He was convicted last year of being an accessory to the murder of 28,000 people in a Nazi death camp in Poland. Although sentenced to 5 years in prison, he was released pending an appeal. Police are investigating an alleged break-in at the Palace of Westminster. It's understood that an office used by Labour had its door forced. It's not known whether anything was taken. The Thai billionaire who created the energy drink Red Bull has died at the age of 89. Chalio Yudhvidya originally sold the tonic drink to shift workers and lorry drivers in Bangkok's Old Quarter in the 1980s. The worldwide popularity of the product helped make him Thailand's second richest man. The weather. There'll be outbreaks of rain across central and southern England, which will clear during the day, though not until the evening in the far southeast. It'll be brighter in the north and west, with occasional showers, some of which may be heavy and thundery in the west. The BBC News and Weather at 2:30 past one.
Vaughan, thank you very much. The great conductors of our age is the theme at the moment in Saturday Classics. And in an hour from now, James Jolly introduces a second selection of great performances by some of the most distinguished conductors of the late 20th century. You can hear Bernstein, Carrián and Scholti, amongst others, this afternoon. Saturday Classics is at 2. But next, this lunchtime, time for Catherine Bott to bring you the first of this weekend's early music shows.
Recorder player Lisha O'Brien and percussionist Francesco Turrisi in a traditional Irish tune, The Woods of Kilkenny. Today the Early Music Show celebrates St Patrick's Day with highlights of two concerts recorded last August at the 2011 Kilkenny Arts Festival. We'll hear more from Lisha and Francesco and their group later on in the programme. But next, to the city's Black Abbey for a concert given by the Kilkenny Camerata. The group was founded in 1999 by the Irish keyboard player Malcolm Proud and Swiss violinist Maya Homburger. And you'll hear a great deal of Maya in this virtuosic secular cantata by Johann Sebastian Bach. Cantata BWV 209 isn't just secular, which makes it unusual enough in his cantata output. It's one of only two in which he set an Italian text. Non sa che sia dolore. He knows not what suffering is. When you hear the piece, there's no doubt as to who wrote it. But when, where, and for whom he did so is tantalisingly unclear. It's a farewell scene set to music. The solo soprano is sending a young man off on his travels, perhaps to serve his country, and she wishes him a calm sea and a prosperous voyage. Joining the Kilkenny Camerata for this performance was the soprano Anja Lipfert.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bach's cantata Non sa che sia dolore, He Knows Not What Suffering Is, performed by soprano Anja Lipfert and flautist Emma Elkinson, with Camerata Kilkenny directed from the violin by Maya Homburger. You're listening to The Early Music Show with me, Catherine Bott, marking St. Patrick's Day with highlights from last year's Kilkenny Arts Festival, made available to us by our colleagues in the European Broadcasting Union. And now we return to the concert that opened today's programme. This was recorded in the Parade Tower at Kilkenny Castle, a 12th century edifice that's been creatively tweaked in every century since. The concert featured five performers in a mixture of pieces by Renaissance composers and traditional Irish melodies, all held together by an avian theme. They called their programme How Happy for the Little Birds. And here are their first three sets of beaks and feathers: an anonymous woodcock, the hawk of Ballyshannon, and first, the eagle's force, appropriately by William Byrd.
Thank you.
The Hawk of Ballyshannon, performed by recorder player Leisha O'Brien, with Oran O'Cassida on the Irish fiddle, guitarist John Feely and percussionist Francesco Turrisi. And before it, an anonymous piece called Woodcock, and William Byrd's The Eagle's Force, sung by Niamh McCormack, with Sarah Grosser playing viola da gamba. All part of a concert given at last August's Kilkenny Arts Festival in Southwest Ireland. More now from the festival's own Baroque Chamber Ensemble, Camerata Kilkenny, and music by Georg Philipp Telemann. He wrote his six quartets for flute and continuo in Germany in about 1730, and they were sufficiently successful to get themselves pirated and printed in 1736 without the composer's knowledge by the unscrupulous French publisher Leclerc. Telemann didn't get mad, he got even. During a brief visit to Paris 2 years later, he refurbished all six, retitled them New Quartets for Flute, Violin, Violoncello and Bass, and published them himself to even wider acclaim. Today they're known as his Paris Quartets, and we're going to hear the sixth of the set in E minor, played by members of Camerata Kilkenny. Thank you. A Paris quartet in an Irish castle. Camerata Kilkenny playing Telemann's sixth Paris quartet in E minor in a concert recorded at Kilkenny Castle last August. For our final music from Kilkenny, we're returning to the concert at the Black Abbey and a couple more chirruping birds. We'll hear Niamh McCormack singing a song by the appropriately named composer Thomas Ravenscroft, Of All the Birds That Ever I See, which also features a bit of to-wit to-wooing from the audience at the end. Before that, though, a lyrical setting for recorder and guitar of the traditional Irish tune, The Lark in the Clear Air.
Applause there at Kilkenny Castle last August for the soprano Niamh McCormack, the recorder player Leisha O'Brien, the guitarist John Feely, Sarah Grosser on viola da gamba, Oren Okasada on fiddle and Francesco Torisi on percussion, all in a song by Thomas Ravenscroft, Of All the Birds That Ever I See. Well, that brings to an end today's Early Music Show. It was presented by Catherine Bott, and the programme was produced in Salford by Les Pratt. Radio 3, it's 2 o'clock now, time for Saturday Classics. James Jolly presents the second of two programmes featuring some of the great conductors of the mass media age.
It's not only an ability to shape a fabulous performance that defines the great conductors of our age. Rather like a Hollywood actor, a star conductor has to grasp the workings of the media industry as well. In today's programme, I'm focusing on the careers of three conducting giants of the mass media age who might be said to have set the modern agenda, three men who took us from the LP into the digital age and the world of the CD. They're the Hungarian George Schulte, the Austrian Herbert von Karajan, and the American Leonard Bernstein. And Bernstein especially had more than his fair share of gifts to impart to his public, not least as a successful composer. The overture to Candide, the composer himself, conducted the New York Philharmonic, Leonard Bernstein. Looking back over the past century, it's hard to think of a musician who was so prodigiously gifted in so many disciplines as Bernstein. He was as happy on Broadway as he was in Carnegie Hall, a formidably gifted pianist, a charismatic lecturer and broadcaster, and a great conductor. Bernstein's career on the podium was launched spectacularly when he stepped in at the last moment to replace an ailing Bruno Walter at a Carnegie Hall concert in November 1943. The concert was broadcast live on American radio and the Bernstein phenomenon was underway. Here's a chance to savour Bernstein as both pianist and conductor in music by Mozart. Thank you.